playing through with Froggy and Wacker.
Welcome to another edition of the Playing Through podcast. Thank you so much for listening. It's Froggy from Elvis Duran of the Morning Show. Brian Wacker not here today. He is out on the road, always following golf. We'll check in with him soon and find out exactly what's going on, where we are in the FedEx Cup race. But today, I want to talk to a guy who makes golf balls. You know, the golf ball debate. You know, everybody's busy paying so much money for golf balls. Every time you go to the store to buy a dozen golf balls, you think to yourself, oh, I've got to buy the best golf ball out there because it's the most expensive. And then when you hit it in the water, you end up going to look for it for 15 minutes and slowing the group down behind you. Well, there are other options when it comes to golf balls. You don't always have to buy that $45, $50 dozen golf ball. And today we're talking to Sam, the inventor, the owner of Cut Golf. And Sam, tell us a little bit about Cut Golf Balls.
Well, Froggy, first off, thanks for having me on today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And then to give you guys a little bit of background on Cut Golf, it actually started just around 2 years ago. I was on a golf course. I was maybe like some of your listeners, losing somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 6, golf balls around.
Right.
I was playing some of those premium brands that are out there, where you're paying, anywhere from $35 to $49 a pop. And I just, I was seeing the success that brands like Dollar Shave Club were having, and just understood that, really was starting to see that there was no reason that anyone should have to pay, $35, $49, for a premium golf ball if they didn't want to. So I started, doing my research into golf ball manufacturing, started locating some, reputable, incredible, factories over in Asia, and, started bringing in samples. We brought in, some good samples. We brought in some bad samples. We brought some stuff in that I would, I'm doing my air quotes over here, would say were kind of shady.
Right.
There's a lot of knockoff product out there. And we were starting to see some of that, which, we definitely steered clear of. And, through some TrackMan testing, on-course testing, we were able to hone in on a very good, factory to partner with, that was able to initially deliver a 4-piece urethane ball, a 3-piece Sirlin ball and a 2-piece Sirlin ball was what we initially had launched with. And, after that, fast forward to end of February 2017 when we launched, and then we were off to the races.
So how exactly, well, we're here first. I've got a couple different questions. So what's the difference in a Sirlin cover and a urethane cover?
So urethane cover is what, what the market refers to as being, a tour quality golf ball. So, weekend in, weekend out on the PGA Tour, all of our favorite guys out there are using a urethane cover golf ball. Same as the Senior Tour, even though last I checked, I believe there's one guy on the Senior Tour that uses a Sirlin cover ball. So anything, that you would buy in the $35 to $49 dollar price point, that's going to most likely be a urethane ball. And then anything in that, $35 to say $20 price point. And now, there's some guys out there selling for $15 a dozen. That's typically going to be a Sirlin ball.
Right.
A Sirlin ball that has, a two piece construction, maybe possibly a 3-piece. So that's the difference. And there's obviously different performance characteristics that go along with it. The reason the guys on the tour use the urethane is that's where they're really going to get the control around the greens. For the weekend warrior golfers, and myself included, I play to a 16. I highly recommend that they actually go out and use a Sirlin ball. I'll give you a little personal reference from my end. I'm fortunate to have access to a warehouse, a plethora of golf balls,
that's
if
right.
you will. On my way out, I can just kind of cruise through the warehouse and say, I think I'll play, the Cut Blue today. And I was doing that. And actually, for me, I just, you know, I tend to spin the ball way too much off the tee, which you know, leads to my ball being, like, at times, you know, a fairway, maybe a fairway or two over.
To the right most of the time?
Yeah. But what I figured out is I took a step back. I'm like, you know what? Let's give the cut red a shot. And through giving the cut red a shot, you know, I was able to drop a good 5 to 6 strokes off my game because I wasn't playing the right ball for me. And I think that's a general misconception that, unfortunately, the market has is,
oh, for this, sure. You know,
this fill-in-the-blank golf ball is going to make me play like that guy out, you know, out there.
Right. On you Sundays. See it every day in a pro shop. A guy walks up and says, oh, I'll take a box of the Pro Vs because that's, they just think that that's what the guy on tour plays. So that's what they should play when, like you said, in reality, if that ball spins too much off the driver, they're hurting themselves 10 times more than they would be if they played a cheaper ball. They'd be saving money and taking strokes off of their game.
Exactly.
So how exactly does, so here's the lineup. So the lineup of cut golf balls, we've got a cut blue, which is a 4-piece, and that's a urethane cover. We've got cut gray, a 3-piece urethane cover. A cut white, which is a 3-piece with a Sirlin cover, and then the cut red is a 2-piece. Now, how does the lineup work as far as being comparable to other golf balls that we've, you know, the part of the big boy, as we call them, brands?
Right. So we actually don't really take much pleasure in calling out our competitors, you know, on a direct basis. So what I would say is, you know, take cut blue and cut gray. And then you're going to have balls in that, like I said, in that $49 price point category.
Right. Now, does one spin a little less than the other? Is one like a, you know, a harder or a softer version of the other?
Yes. So gray is going to be a softer feel. Uh-huh. It's going to spin less since you have one less layer in that ball.
Right.
So gray would be, you know, the one that's going to have a softer feel, have the response and the performance, you know, green side, without that added spin that you're going to get from cut blue.
Right, where the blue. And then that's exactly it. So you guys sent me a dozen of each, the blue and the gray, and I played them just last weekend. And I'll tell you that I really enjoyed the gray. I noticed the spin difference off the driver. It was less spin. If I did miss it slightly, it didn't curve as far to the right as the blue would. The blue is a little more spinny, but I also noticed a little more spin around the greens of the wedges on the blue, which is sometimes you've got to give up a little bit of that to stay in bounds off the tee. So I definitely say that playing these balls, the only difference I notice, and this is probably something you can answer, is I notice they're a little more pure white than the golf balls that we see at the normal price point range, at the $49 to $40 price point range. They seem to be a little whiter, but they seem to last a little longer as well. Is there a reason?
Yeah. So one, to address the more of the color of the ball. It's something that we have kind of wrestled with on our side,
right,
since the beginning. I have no problem, you know, saying out loud and being transparent with this when we, you know, maybe the look of the ball is something that we're never 100% with, and we are actually, as we speak, you know, addressing that issue right now, because we'd like to make sure that we get like a duller white,
right,
on the ball. And then in regards to the durability of the ball, yeah, I mean, if you look at some of the higher, you know, those higher end balls that are in the market, if you look at the outer cover layer, they're going to be a little bit thinner, you know, and that's why those guys get, you know, pretty good feel and performance, because their urethane layers are thin. If you look at ours by design was actually, it's a little bit thicker,
right,
it's on the thicker side. So you're going to get better durability. And that's why, you know, our spin does tend to be a little bit higher due to the thickness of that layer.
Yeah, I noticed in playing 9 holes. I played 9 holes. I hit 2 shots on each hole, played a blue and a gray. But I noticed that the durability at the end of 9 holes, once I cleaned the ball off with a wet cloth, the ball looked still brand new. Not a lot of abrasions. Didn't see the marks on the wedges hitting down. Really, the ball seems to be extremely durable, which I like, because too many times you pay that kind of money for a golf ball, you hit it a couple times, and it's got some scars on it, and that's not even hitting a tree or a car path or anything else.
Right, and we've seen that just through our testing process over here, where we'll pull, you know, the guys who we're testing against, we'll pull, you know, two or three of their balls out of the session, and they're beat up pretty good.
Right.
But, you know, then again, who's really holding on to a ball for 9 holes?
Right. Usually it's in the water at some point around the fourth or fifth hole.
So exactly.
When you're doing your testing, is a lot of it, are you putting more of a focus on TrackMan testing or more on course testing with you and say your buddies, or how does that work? Do you put it on like a machine that hits the golf ball so that you know it's getting the same strike every single time? How does the testing process work?
Yeah, so there's a few methods here, and you know what I stress in testing is that we make sure that we have scientific methods, that we have consistency, that we really, you know. So, for instance, just to address who's doing the testing, it's not me for a few reasons. One, I mean, in my opinion, that would be that could lead to some biased numbers coming
Correct.
Out of that test. Two, I'm just not that consistent. So, I've tried it where I've tried to hit our ball, you know, in more of that studio setting, you know, on the TrackMan, and that didn't work out very well.
Right.
we just have different ways of testing. We have, one of our guys, here, his name's Travis Russell, good friend of ours, just got back from, you know, being on the Canadian tour, and he helps us out with a lot of our, testing. You know, he's going to be the guy that's going to be able to deliver a consistent strike on the ball. So he does a baseline test on the TrackMan in a controlled environment. And then from there, we take the balls out onto the course to see what the results are like out there. We will then send balls out to a small sample of folks that we know with different handicaps to be able to pull in, you know, different feedback from a wide variety of players. It's usually some of the guys at the club that I know. It's some folks that, you know, we have managed to become very good friends with over the last 2 years. And they're the ones giving us the feedback, you know. And what I've always asked of these folks is, hey, be honest with me. You're not going to hurt my feelings.
Right.
Because actually, it's the other way around. If you're not being honest, you're not helping me. You're actually hurting me.
Right. Exactly.
So we've been able to, you know, to really get a lot of the feedback through those methods. And then also our factory that we have partnered with, you know, has pretty decent, research and development capabilities. So they have, you know, the more robotic testing going on their side, where they're able to put our ball on, you know, on a TrackMan, have a robot hit it, and also relay the numbers back in.
Right.
But like I said, I mean, those numbers, those are good to see. It gives us a real baseline. But once again, I mean, you know, making sure that when we look at our numbers, I like to make sure that we're being, you know, above board. And, you know, the numbers that come back from the factory are like, okay, well, that's good to see. But, you know, let's really get this into some real people's hands.
Right.
You know, people that aren't going to have a bias back towards the brand.
Right, exactly. So, you know, the ball seems to be testing well. I see here that you're on the Golf Digest Hot List, a silver award for 2018. You can get flat rate U.S. shipping all day, every day, free U.S. shipping on bulk buys all day, every day. And they're extremely affordable golf balls. They start out at $20 a dozen for both the blue and the gray. And then they go as you've got them for $9 a dozen, which, I mean, that is an unbelievable deal. $14.95 for the cut white, and then $9.95 for the red. And then I also see there's a yellow version, a yellow matte version, $19.95, a cut matte orange, which is $19.95 a dozen, and a cut matte pink, which is $19.95 a dozen as well. So how did you come up with the name Cut?
It's a play on learning how to hit the cut and then landing, you know, on this business model. It's that play on, essentially the business model surrounds itself around cutting costs, cutting the unnecessary costs.
Right. So really, Sue, by not paying the guys on tour and not doing all that stuff, you're saving a ton of money, which as a consumer, when you buy one of the bigger name brands, you're paying for all of that extra that goes in to marketing the golf ball, but none of that's going into actually making the ball better.
Well, correct. And I mean, it's even down to, Dennis and I just got back in from visiting our factory over in Asia. And I mean, we're paying for a coach seat. I mean, we're not even paying for a business class seat.
Right.
It's down to cutting that sort of cost. I'll walk around with a sore back for about 3 days, but if that means that we're able to deliver the golf ball at that $995 price point and $1,995 price point, in my eyes, it's worth it. Because we're really here, I treat our customers no different than I like to be treated. And for me, that's a key point. And, it goes beyond things like, cutting the tour guy out of the equation. It goes more into the fact that, up till now, we haven't, we've thrown the clamshell box out of the equation. When you receive your packages from us, I mean, we've figured out every way to maximize a shipping box and to use the best, the best service possible that gets you a golf ball in, in somewhere between 1 to 3 days at a flat rate. So there's a lot that goes into not only the performance side of the golf ball. I mean,
right.
that is paramount, but also, what are we doing to make sure that we are operating a business that we can sustain selling a golf ball at $19.95. So as we move forward here, you're going to see a clamshell or, some sort of, kind of what you, more of a retail friendly package, because that's kind of like our next push right now. So that's something that the market demands, and you'll start to see us evolve to.
Now, will you ever go retail, or is that part of keeping the cost down by selling them direct online, buying them directly from you on your website, and then you shipping them out?
No, I think that's what we're addressing right now with moving towards a retail package. Now, this is only going to be available at certain retailers who we're currently in discussions with. There are some names there that, people will recognize on the national stage. So those guys are going to get a retail, they'll get the standard clamshell box. The folks that, buy direct off of us, through the online store, they'll just keep on getting the sleeves. We know that we can support retailers moving forward and still, operate a healthy business. And in my opinion, I think that the direct-to-consumer golf ball space is a challenge. My hat's off to those guys that are trying it. But I think, at the end of the day, the golf ball is somewhat of an impulse buy.
Right.
If you called me on a Wednesday evening and said, let's go play Saturday morning, and I have no balls left in my bag, I'm not buying it from the online guys. I have to buy it through, maybe I'll get lucky, buy it through Amazon Prime. But if that's not an option, I'm definitely buying it somewhere between a big box retailer and a Greenside account.
Right, exactly. That makes perfect sense. So, speaking of the ball and the ball debate, we've had all this talk recently, people saying, and there's people on both sides of the fence, and I stand on one side very, very clearly, and I've stood on it multiple times here on the podcast. We've had Billy Horschel on talking about the ball debate. Where do you stand on the fact that the argument of the ball is going too far and there needs to be some type of rollback, and whether that rollback is rolling back all golf balls or rolling back golf balls for tour pros and letting amateurs play with the current golf ball? Where do you stand, and what have you seen in your testing? Because you're seeing much more information than I am on, is the golf ball going too far?
Oh boy. I'm just a guy that started a golf ball company. How did I get roped into this debate?
Right.
Okay. So I guess first and foremost, I have to have this debate with, you know, my golfer hat on, right?
Right.
Because I think that's only appropriate. So I mean, maybe the guys at Cut have a different opinion about this. To be honest with you, we get so bogged down in the day to day minutia of running Cut that there's not a lot of water cooler to, you know, talk about this sort of topic, which is, you know, it's a little bit sad, but it's just, it just gives you a little bit of an idea as to how hectic it can get around here.
Right.
I guess right out of the gate, I'll tell you this. I don't agree with bifurcation. I think the beauty of the game of golf is the ball that those pros are teeing up, you know, on the weekends is the same ball that I'm teeing up.
Correct. And the thing is the clubs are not the same. The only thing that's the same is the golf ball that you're hitting and maybe the tee that you're hitting. Other than that, their golf clubs are just different. And so I've always thought that our sport that we've chosen to play is different from all the other major sports in one way, in that if you want to play baseball, you need to get somebody to throw the ball 100 miles an hour, and you need other people out on the diamond. If you want to play football, you need to go meet Tom Brady and get some other guys to play with you. If you want to play tennis, then you need to go get Serena Williams to stand on the other side of the court. If you want to play basketball, then you got to go get LeBron James. If you want to play golf, you can go to, per se, you can go to Pebble Beach. You can spend your money, and you can go walk back on the very back tee, and you can tee it up from the tips all day long, and you can play the way those guys play it, and you can see how difficult the game is. And I think that is what sets our game apart from many other different sports.
100% agree. I mean, that's the beauty. I mean, I think you used a great example in going to Pebble. The example I would use is, you know, we're fortunate to be about an hour and a half away from Torrey Pines.
Right.
And, you know, I remember the first time I played Torrey, you just realize, man, this place is a beast.
Right.
Right. And you go, and then you really think of what Tiger did there.
Right. Being here in South Florida, right? We have Trump Doral right down the street. Now, there's not a tournament currently going on at Trump Doral. We're hoping to get a tournament back here in South Florida. But for years, they played the Doral Open, the Ford Championship, the WGC, all at Trump Doral. And I played it one day. They had a tournament after the Sunday. So Monday morning, still left in the Sunday setup. And yes, the tees were set up from the blues. But for a couple holes, we went back and stood back on the back tee where they played it from the day before. And you really get a feel for, number one, how good those guys are and how hard these golf courses are when it's way back there. And I think our sport gives us that ability. And that's why I think the golf ball is the one thing that is exactly the way that you're seeing it on tour.
Right. And I mean, look, to tie it back to the initial, you know, discussion, in my opinion, no, I think the ball's fine. If we're going to look at the ball, then we've got to look at a whole slew of other factors, right? Well, what about the course? I mean, are we going to do anything about, you know, the architecture of the course, the setup of a course? What are you going to do? Go tell Brooks Koepka not to lift the weights?
Right.
You know, are you going to go tell Rory to go do this? I mean, these guys are, I mean, they are elite level athletes right now hitting that ball. They're not weekend warriors out there anymore, right? I mean, a lot has changed. I would say since the late 90s to present, that has transformed the professional golfer into the athletes that they are. So I think that's another factor.
Oh, absolutely. And I think TrackMan has changed our sport in that now I understand what the ideal launch conditions are. So I know if I hit it, whether I'm, you know, for example, Brooks Koepka hits down 3 degrees on his driver and some other guys hit up. We have learned through TrackMan what the ideal launch conditions are and what the spin rate is. And now the driver is adjustable where we can tweak the moment of inertia and tweak this and tweak that and move stuff around. The game has changed that it's so much more than just the golf ball. And like you said, it's these guys are strong. They're athletes. I mean, I'm not taking anything away from Tom Watson and Jack Nicklaus and Curtis Strange and, I mean, all the amazing guys that played, Arnold Palmer, Greg Norman, all those guys were great golfers. But they didn't spend the time in the gym like Tiger Woods and Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka and Dustin Johnson. These guys are full-on 100% athletes, and they're swinging the club faster than we've ever seen people swing it.
Yeah, and I mean, you're even leaving some guys off that elite list that you just, I think we might even overlook. I mean, look at Zach Johnson.
Right.
I mean, I look at that guy, and you just go, I mean, like, I'd like to just walk up to him and try to, like, just at least pinch him.
Right.
I mean, you're not pinching any fat off those guys.
No.
Right?
Look at Justin Thomas.
And exactly. And then we go to the other side of the equation, which is look at a guy like Ricky Fowler, and he can still hit it a ton, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, in my opinion, if you're going to address the ball, well, then we've got to address, you know, a few other factors that would go into where the ball's going. I think the only thing that I'm pretty dug in on would be no bifurcation. I know every time that gets thrown around, I cringe at the thought of that, and that cringe isn't anything having to do with our business here. It's just me is more of the golf purist just thinking, nah, I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah, well, I don't see any weekend warriors or any guys who play golf say, oh man, you know, I'm just hitting the driver too far. I really wish I could hit it a little shorter. So as far as the business model goes, I'm not sure that, and I'm including the big boys in on this as well, not just, you know, you guys. I can't see where anybody would have to spend the R&D, the research and development money, to create a ball that goes a shorter distance. Nobody, you would never be able to sell those and recoup your money. So I just don't see where it makes sense for the game. I don't see where it makes sense from a business perspective. I don't see where it's good for anything.
I'd have to agree with that.
And it just doesn't make sense. But so seriously, if you're going out, whether you are just a weekend warrior, you're a guy that plays a lot, cut golf balls really, truly are a difference maker. They really are. You're spending half, actually in some cases, less than half than what you're spending on these other balls. And they're at your door in what, 2 to 3 days max?
Tops.
Yeah, 2 to 3 days. Tops, you've got them. So it's cutgolfco.com. I know you're on Instagram as well. I know you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, but cutgolfco.com. They've got hats. You can do bulk buys. Let's say you've got a big tournament coming up and you want to do some balls with your logo on them or whatever you want to do. They'll do those as well. It's cutgolfco.com. They've got 4 different versions of golf balls. Try them out. Trust me, you will not be disappointed. And Sam, thank you so much for taking time to come on the podcast and tell us about Cut Golf.
I appreciate being on. Thank you.
You got it, man, very much. If we can help you in any way, just let us know. Reach out at any time. We'll definitely be playing some Cut Golf balls here on the program.
Appreciate it. Thank you again.
Thank you, man. Have a great one. Enjoy your week.
All right, you too.
You got it. Bye-bye.